Sunday, much like Easter Sunday and Christmas, but we don't get presents. We should invent that, shouldn't we? We should all have presents for Pentecost. Pentecost, chocolate, and Prosecco, Holy Spirit. That's what we should invent. We should invent, Colin's shaking his head at me. Oh, he's tutting, I can hear it from here. So I wonder how many people outside the doors of the church know that it's Pentecost today. They generally know it's Easter. They generally know it's Christmas. I don't think many will know that it's Pentecost today. They might have looked at us coming in going, what are they wearing in that church? My next door neighbour went, bright this morning, Louise. So I was like, yeah. So we've got two readings today. I'm going to read you the first one, and in a moment George is going to read the second one. I've given him the one with all the names of places. Sorry, George. So our first one is from John's Gospel, and it will appear on the screen. From John chapter 20, verse 19 to 23. And it's situated shortly after Jesus rose again. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked, for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Well, here our second reading, our usual Pentecost reading, and George has drawn the short straw today. Thanks, George.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. May God bless that reading from his word.
Thanks, George. So two readings about the Holy Spirit at work. One calmer and peaceful, one more chaotic and powerful. The story of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. Can we have the first slide up, please? Is wonderful. We heard that story, didn't we? There's flames, there's wind, there's tongues of fire, there's a cacophony of noise as everyone is able to understand one another all of a sudden in whatever language they're speaking. It's vibrant, it's exciting, it is a wow moment. God is breaking through every human barrier to be understood, finally. It's all about the message. Peter then goes on to preach, barnstormer of a sermon, because everybody is ready to hear because of what God has done, and thousands are added to the number. It's about God breaking through the barriers, and the church is born from that moment in many ways, and the gospel message is uncontainable. It's big and it's dramatic, and it's not meant to be ordinary because God is doing something. And as I said, I think it's about communication. It's about God wanting people to understand the message of Jesus. And so his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, allows that to happen. And people can speak in new ways and they understand in new ways. But that's not all the Holy Spirit is about. And it's not the only Holy Spirit moment I want to reflect on, which you'd expect me to be reflecting on the Pentecost story at Pentecost. But I'd like to refer us back to that reading from John's Gospel, where the Holy Spirit is doing something else. There's no mighty flames, there's no wind, there's no tongues. It's a different moment of God breaking in 50 days earlier. And if you remember the reading, you hear the story of the men and women disciples, the followers of Jesus. They're in a room, they're huddled together, they're hiding out because they are afraid. They're in fear. It's not a great time. Jesus has died, he's been arrested and executed. The group have been scattered. The fear is palpable. We don't get any real details in the Gospel of John, but we can understand what it's about, those frightened, tired, and discouraged people hiding away. And as we hear in the Gospel, because they're afraid of the Jewish authorities. And suddenly, out of nowhere, in a Gospel Mr. Ben moment, there pops Jesus, risen, and he goes, peace. Peace be with you. Because that's what they needed to know at that moment. Now, you might think that's a strange thing to say, but I think it's exactly what was needed at that moment. And this is as much a Holy Spirit moment as the flames, as the wind, as the kapow of God into their fear and their worry and their locked doors comes Jesus with what he needs them to know. Peace be with you, says Jesus. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, ouch, they are not forgiven. That's another sermon for another time. So he says, in other words, receive the power of forgiveness and love and hope of new life. Receive the promise that I am with you always. Receive the power to forgive and the power to hold that back. It's as much a Pentecostal moment as the fire and the flames. It's not a hurricane, it's a whisper. Oops. In the Pentecost story, we have a faith community already gathered in Acts. There is momentum. People are coming together and they're celebrating the wonder of God in Jesus. And then the Spirit comes upon them. And Peter, if we were to carry on the reading, we hear the fantastic preach that Peter does when God gets everybody's attention. It's a time of wonder and wildness and new beginnings. I was thinking about these two stories this week. The experience of the disciples locked away in their upper room. And I wonder if that's what it's felt like this past year for many of us. I know that lots of us have not had an easy year this past year. It's been an unsettling time. It's been a worrying time. And we've had the opportunity, well, the experience of being locked up, kind of, haven't we? Separated from the people that we know and love, craving physical attention, and some of us are walking through grief and hard times. Some of us are mourning. We've had our own upper room experience. The disciples needed Jesus to say, "Peace be with you." Because he gate crashes into the things that are holding them back, their fear, their despair, and offers exactly what they need. He breathes out hope, he breathes out forgiveness, he breathes out new beginnings to move them forward from death to life. So this is as much a Pentecost story as the wind and the flames, because both are needed to get the full picture of how God works with us. Jesus needed to show up and say peace so that he could then send them out, as we heard in our reading. It takes an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, but also an inpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost to set the seal of what Jesus wanted them to do. To be who they were, to trust in what God wanted them to do, to share the message, to send them out. That upper room is a Pentecost story. And we all have upper room stories too. And I want to remind you today that if you are still in an upper room of the making of this last year, or grief, or illness, or worry, or whatever you are carrying at the moment, Jesus comes with words of solidarity and he says, "Peace be with you." Because he says, "I know how you feel. You're not alone. No matter what you're carrying, I understand." So I want to remind us today that no matter how far we wander, Jesus is beside you. He comes into our upper rooms of fear and says, "Peace be with you. Receive the Holy Spirit." So whether the Holy Spirit comes in flame or quietly into the fearful private places of our hearts, God always turns up. So the question I want to leave with you today is, are you open to however God will turn up? Because it's my experience of the way that Jesus works, or the way the Holy Spirit works. It's never how we expect. Sometimes we expect God's still small voice and he speaks in a boom. and vice versa. Are you open to what God would have you say and do? The disciples had to be moved on, because otherwise Pentecost could not happen. They had to be moved out of their upper room, of their locked doors, because God had a job for them to do. And that job was to show people Jesus. And that's our job today, is to show people Jesus and to show lives transformed and set free. And so when people look at us, they go, not only do you have remarkably bad fashion taste, but I see something different in you. Hopefully they see something different in me before they see the remarkably bright skirt. God has a job for each one of us, and that's to show Jesus. And so we need to leave our upper rooms of whatever is holding us back. Because the disciples were moved out, they were changed, they grew, they risked in order to show Jesus to their generation and their time. So the challenge that comes to us this Pentecost is, are we those people who are ready to listen? And if called to do so, to move to where God would have us be. Are you listening to what God is saying to you? Are you ready to move? We often sing the song, Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Do our lives look like that? I wonder. May we be people who can listen to the voice of Jesus and be obedient to what he would have us do.